the Public News Service Wednesday afternoon update. I'm Mike Clifford. A decision from the U.S. Supreme Court protects Idaho rivers from what conservation groups say are harmful mining practices. More now from Eric Tegedoff.
The justices rejected a petition to review a case in which a California suction dredge miner conducted his operations without a Clean Water Act permit in Idaho. The miner, Shannon Poe, was fined $150,000 in 2021 by a district court for polluting the South Fork of the Clearwater River. The Idaho Conservation League filed suit against Poe for failing to get a permit back in 2018. The league's Jonathan Oppenheimer says the Supreme Court's decision is a victory for Idaho's rivers.
We were concerned that it could go the other way and are pleased to see the outcome that really upholds what we see as the rule of law, that if you're going to discharge pollutants into waters of the United States, that you need to have appropriate permits and take actions to protect those waters for all Americans.
Oppenheimer notes that the justices rejecting a review of the case means that the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals decision requiring permits for suction dredge mining goes back into place, protecting waterways in the West. And the White House considering options now for its response to the Supreme Court's blockbuster ruling on immunity that handled Donald Trump a major victory, as President Biden warns that an amoral future president could abuse those powers. That's the take from NBC News. They quote White House spokesperson Ian Sams as saying, "We're reviewing the decision and certainly will be exploring what could be done to address it to better safeguard democracy and the rule of law in the future, given this dangerous precedent." And this year, the 4th of July weekend arrives with an extreme heat advisory in California, with triple-digit temperatures in many inland areas well into next week. So public health experts are asking people to take extra precautions to stay safe.
Anyone is susceptible to heat-related illness, especially if they haven't gotten acclimated. Dr. Rita Wen with the California Department of Public Health lists the groups that are more vulnerable to heat stroke.
Those who are unhoused, those working outdoors, older adults, pregnant people, infants and children, people with disabilities, those with chronic health conditions, and lower income populations.
Heat stroke can impair a person's judgment, so they may not realize it's time to come inside. I'm Suzanne Potter.
And a new proposal could reduce the number of people behind bars in Mississippi. Currently, approximately 27,000 people are jailed, many in state prisons. Attorney Hernandez Stroud is with the Brennan Center for Justice.
Congress could help states break the cycle of excessive imprisonment and its devastating impact on families and communities by offering funding as an incentive to both shrink state prison populations and implement humane alternatives.
Congress has not yet introduced the Public Safety and Prison Reduction Act. This is Public News Service.
Next, we head to Connecticut, where a new report shows the state's 988 crisis lifeline services rank high nationwide.
The report is from Inseparable, a national mental health advocacy group. It examines how to close gaps in the mental health continuum of care, starting with 988 and crisis response. Since the suicide and crisis lifeline transitioned to a shorter number, Connecticut saw a 125% call increase in the first year. Tanya Barrett with the United Way of Connecticut says it's hard but rewarding work to hear calls all day from people in distress.
We make a really big effort to make sure that we're giving our staff the resources to be able to decompress, de-stress, and to really understand their impact and how their impact is actually impacting other people's lives.
She adds, once they understand how important their work is, they can readily pick up the next call. Barrett feels policymakers should maintain a strong workforce pipeline to keep staffing levels up. This comes as Connecticut's 988 expands to include chat and text services. She says a different population tends to use this option. I'm Edwin J. Vieira.
Meantime, nearly 60% of Nebraska's 3- and 4-year-olds aren't enrolled in preschool programs, which are associated with increased success in school and beyond.
Amy LaPointe Houghton, education director with the Winnebago Tribe, says the Educare program was once described to her as Head Start on steroids. She says in their years with the Educare system, Winnebago children have gone from testing near the bottom to being right in line with children in the 24 other Educare centers across the country.
So we've made that huge leap, and it's all around the data. We have our data compiled in a book every year. And things that are identified in that book, that's something we make improvements on.
She says evaluators from the University of Nebraska Medical Center assess the children at the beginning and end of each school year. Educare Winnebago is the only Educare program in the country on an Indian reservation. I'm Deborah Van Fleet.
Finally, from Frieda Ross, environmental groups in Texas are backing a proposed global plastics treaty that's set to be finalized by the end of this year.
The treaty aims to minimize plastics' impact on the environment and make manufacturers responsible for managing plastic waste. The treaty also encourages use of reusable options such as single-use bags, straws, and utensils. Cheyenne Rendon with the Society of Native Nations says supporters need to focus on the people the treaty will serve.
The United States has already conveyed that they're not willing to operate out of current existing laws. So although their approach is they are for the Global Plastics Treaty, it's at the lowest denomination of a treaty as possible.
This is Mike Clifford for Public News Service, member and listener supported. Hear us on radio stations big and small, your favorite podcast platform, and find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.